Hello, my name's Roger Elliott. I'm a director of Uncommon Knowledge, and welcome to this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on what science has to tell us about your ability to concentrate. Now, it's become, I think, a bit of a cliche to think about the effects of modern life on our capacity to concentrate. Tim Wu, in his excellent book The Attention Merchants, The Epic Scramble to Get Inside Our Heads, writes convincingly that our capacity to focus attention is the most valuable thing we have. He describes how propaganda, advertising, and now clickbait can keep us woefully distracted from what we could be achieving in life. Our attention is bought and sold, and in the process we lose volition over our own lives, at least to an extent. The future, Wu muses, belongs to the small portion of humanity who can focus and concentrate, who can choose where they put their attention. These are the people that can shape their own lives and find real meaning. Being able to focus powerfully for long periods of time and in productive ways is also about being able, at will, to recognize and unfocus attention on what is irrelevant. Sometimes the problem might be that irrelevant stimuli are being dressed up as urgent and important, sucking up our capacity to pay proper attention to what we need to. Not being much of a gambler, when I visited Las Vegas, I was curious to see people slumped over gambling machines in the hotel lobby as I left my hotel in the morning. When I returned many hours later in the evening, I would see the same people slumped over the same machines as though no time had elapsed at all. As though their capacity to focus their attention had been hijacked in some way. They didn't look happy to me. Okay, maybe that's what they wanted to do. Who are we to judge and all that? But just maybe they felt that they couldn't help but focus their minds in this way. Just maybe part of them wanted out from that. Mass access to pornography, constant news updates, whether fake or not, and the shrill, endless demands for our attention from smartphones and other devices means we are kept constantly busy. And that may be all very well, but not if it's at the expense of learning and focusing on other, more rewarding and useful parts of reality. After all, the way you focus your mind defines the very fabric and quality of your life. And as George Bernard Shaw said, better keep yourself clean and bright. You are the window through which you must see the world. Firstly, it's a curious truth that we pay attention with both our conscious and our unconscious awareness. Maybe you're wearing socks right now, or maybe the soles of your feet are pressing down on the floor. You were already aware of those sensations, the socks on your skin or the pressure of the floor on the soles of your feet, but probably not consciously aware until I mentioned it. Every second, our five senses take in an estimated 11 million pieces of information. We know this because scientists have painstakingly counted the receptor cells on each sense organ and the nerves that connect them to the brain. Yet we can only consciously process about 40 bits of information a second. What this means is that massive parts of our experience are unavoidably unconscious. So when we're bombarded by competing demands on our attention, scrambling our conscious and unconscious attention gates like static interfering with a radio signal, the 40 bits of information per second we let in may not be the 40 bits that really matter. And if this becomes an ongoing pattern, we are at risk of becoming less than perhaps we could be. Maybe there's something to hear in what seems to be the silence of less information. We are generally, or at least we should be, pretty good at sifting information to find what matters to us. We can attend to what's relevant. I might be at a social gathering with lots of noise, but if someone in the corner mentions my name, I pick that up and refocus my attention on that person. If I see a cat dart onto the road as I drive, I notice that movement amidst all the other visual stimuli and hit the brakes. I'm even capable of finding my keys amongst the sea of untidiness that's my bedroom. If we couldn't discriminate our attention in this way, we couldn't really function. What researchers call attentional processes are the brain's way of shining a searchlight on relevant stimuli and filtering out the rest. Now, neuroscientists want to determine which circuits aim and power that searchlight. For decades, their studies have revolved around the cortex, the folded structure on the outside of the brain commonly associated with intelligence and high-order cognition. It's become clear that activity in the cortex is what allows us to process sensory input and enhance features of interest. The prefrontal lobes of the cortex help us take charge over other, more impulsive and distracted parts of ourselves, to some extent anyway. The connections from these prefrontal parts of the brain take a while to develop, which is why some teenagers may find it hard to control their impulsivity. Some people, due to brain damage or sometimes for no apparent reason, never develop this kind of higher order direction in their brains. These people remain eternally vulnerable to impulsivity, addiction and anger problems, all of which force their attention down narrow lines of focus. So attention capacity is partly what we do with our brains. But scientists are increasingly interested in how what we don't do helps us focus. Or, to put it another way, how the brain can de-emphasize some parts of reality so that we're better able to pay attention to other parts. To maintain laser-like focus or concentration, we rely on parts of the neocortex. But research has found that more ancient brain structures also contribute to our ability to focus by enabling us to filter sensory inputs, augment relevant signals, and suppress noise that we don't need to pay attention to. Some researchers go even further to suggest that it's not just the brain, but the whole mind-body system that determines how we pay attention. So attention isn't just about what we include in our focus, but also what we exclude. Which is pretty obvious, but now the brain evidence for this is becoming clearer. The way we focus is as much about exclusion as inclusion. When there's some kind of stimulus in the environment, be it an unexpected noise when you thought you were home alone, or an unexpectedly attractive person walking your way, information comes into your brain via a part of the brain called the thalamus. The thalamus passes on what it deems to be relevant information to your higher brain functions in the neocortex, and this is the information you become consciously aware of. If the thalamus passed on all information to the neocortex without suppressing most of it, we'd be massively overwhelmed, so we can see the thalamus as a kind of gatekeeper to the brain which blocks or inhibits much more than it lets in. The trouble is, if life is too hectic, the thalamus itself may become overwhelmed and confused. If we're constantly scared by the news, distracted by flashing lights, and bombarded with notifications, the thalamus might let in much more than it should. Then we become confused and unable to concentrate properly on what we really need. What we know is that we can focus on what's important and exclude the rest, despite a massive amount of information constantly flooding the senses. But as we face ever-increasing amounts of information, much of which merely mimics importance, such as flashing pop-ups on the screen, our capacity to pay attention becomes severely compromised. The way we pay attention determines the kind of life we live. So this really is important. Your intelligence, capability, and potential have as much to do with what you don't pay attention to as what you do. Some devices can now tell us how much time we've spent checking them or using them, but I would go further. Take time out to find silence and space. Switch off and tune out for a while, every day, so that you can truly tune in to what's relevant and needs attending to in your life. Exclusion and inclusion need to work in harmony. When we become more able to master and choose what we pay attention to, a wonderful thing happens. As we gain greater attentional volition by switching off our awareness of what we don't need to pay attention to in the outside world, and focusing down more on what we do need to focus on, so too our capacity to focus away from the demands of inner worries and doubts can increase. Take a day, or even a week, to detox from news, and if possible, your devices. Go for a walk, and take the time to just notice and really look at what is around you. Get into the habit of resting your attention on a beautiful piece of music or painting or poem and really letting it speak to you, rather than half-hearing or half-seeing it as you wait to fly off to the next little attentional dopamine hit. At the very least, remember how important the capacity to truly focus the mind is. Your capacity to focus your attention determines who you are and the very nature of your life. Let's not squander this most valuable part of us. So, I hope you've found this interesting and useful, and to listen to other audio insights, you can join the hypnosisdownloads.com members section where there are more than 60 at the time of recording, and members get access to all the sessions on the site, plus exclusive members-only sessions. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join Us link at the top. I'm Roger Relit of Uncommon Knowledge, and I hope you enjoyed this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com.